every side in your life. We're going to go over the story of King Jehoshaphat. So if you open up your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 20, I love this story. And so I was kind of praying. I was like, okay, Lord, give me an analogy. And sometimes you just need a visual because people go, hey, what Pastor Sherry preach on? Y'all paid attention, took notes. But in that moment, you're like, God, Jesus, Bible. That's what all my students say. They tell their parents, what'd you learn in youth group? God, Jesus, Bible. All right. So I was driving and I just had this mental picture, and that's how God talks to me, of a Christmas gift my mom gave to me 17 years ago. Our family loves to cook. I don't know about you guys. My dad actually loved to cook too. So we love kitchen gadgets. And at that time, 17 years ago, my mom had mailed, I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and experimenting and cooking all the time. And she had mailed one of her favorite kitchen gadgets. And as I was really excited to open up the box, I opened up the box. And as the picture goes on the screen, I opened up to find one of the old school pressure cookers. Because anybody hear of the Instapots? Those are awesome. That's the new school one. This was like the classic pressure cooker. And I, all of a sudden, my heart fell and sank, because at that time, and still to this day, all across the internet are all kinds of news stories about pressure cookers exploding. Anybody ever? Yeah? Yeah, you put the picture up there of pressure. This was not an amateur tool. This was not a tool that you just experimented, threw things in there, didn't pay attention, and hit a button. Like, that was probably the fastest way to explode your kitchen. So I got kind of nervous. I'm not going to lie, because I like to wing it when I'm cooking. And I knew these things were a little dangerous after hearing these horror stories. So what did I do? I thanked my mom sincerely from my heart, and I kind of put it on, you know those gifts that you're like, I'm going to use that. You put it on your counter. And then I just kept getting nervous. I was like, I don't want to blow up my apartment, you know, like, it's not a good way to meet your neighbors. So I finally just stuck it on the top shelf on the refrigerator. Anybody know that that's where things go, that you'll never see them again? And I remember packing it up when I moved back to Pennsylvania, and it was so sweet. By that time, I think my mom, a couple years later, got me the Instapot, which is awesome. So where are you going with this, Pastor Sherry? The title of my message is The Pressing. So it's interesting. I don't know if you know this, if you watch those adventurous movies where there's a terrorist that's trying to blow something up. Did you know a lot of terrorists get pressure cookers and turn them into bombs? Like, that's how dangerous they are. And how many people know that Satan is probably the ultimate terrorist in your life? And he likes to use pressure around you. Listen, the pressing. Because he knows that if he can get enough pressure on your life and we start reacting in a way that does not honor God, that God gave us, let me put it this way, God gave us a pressure release valve. Anybody know there's a pressure release valve in those pressure cookers? He created a way that we can release that pressure in a God way that becomes very powerful. But Satan, how many people know this? The terrorist in your life is going to put pressure and pressing, whether it be in your marriage, with your children, a legal battle, financial things going on, pressure at work, because if he can put enough pressure on you, we explode. Has anybody become their worst self in the midst of pressure? Besides myself, I'll tell you, I do a lot of apologizing, keeps you humble because of the pressing. And we're going to read the story about King Jehoshaphat that did it well. And I'll tell you, if you've ever done it wrong, you just apologize. And what repentance means, change your ways, right? So we're going to find a new way to handle pressure through praise today. Because life is one giant pressure cooker. Welcome to adulting. So funny. Like, I have teenagers and they get in the real world and they're like, Pastor Sherry, I'm working 40 hours a week. I said, yes, this is adulting. And it's hard, and it's pressing, and it's stressor. And this is just stressor pressure. It is what it is, and we're going to have to learn how to respond to it differently. So when the heat is on, I want to sing an 80s song. The heat is on, okay? When the heat's on and the pressure and the temperature rises, what we do, how we respond to that pressure will not only define us, but define the victory of the people on our team. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, even our place of business. And all right, so let's talk about the dynamics of a pressure cooker. Okay, what causes pressure cookers to explode? Anybody know this? I do some quick Googling. And the non-sciencey version is real simple. There's a pressure release valve on the top of it. You see that picture where all the steam's coming out? If that pressure release valve is blocked, if there is a blockage, what's going to happen? It's going to explode. It's going to explode. It's just really simple. You don't even need to know a lot of like sciencey stuff to figure that out. So I want to say this. Sometimes we have walls up in our life where there are things in our life that we've just blocked out to God. We're like, God, sorry, never going to do that. Never going to happen. You know, come on, how many people, there's an area, as I'm saying this, a wall in our life in a certain area. And when it comes to praise and worship, there are some people that are like, God, listen, I love you and stuff, but I'm not going to praise like that. I'm not going to worship like that. Nope, I'm not going to invite that person to hang out. I will never join the kids ministry team. We have that long list of never, ever, evers. And the dangerous thing is no matter what God's called you to do, he's called us all to praise and worship him. And when we have that block wall up, where's that pressure going to go? We're going to have to learn how to praise God when we're not feeling it. No, I'm not. I'm just going to skip it. That's fine. What's that called? That says I only praise God when I am having a good time. When things are going my way. Everything's going my way, right? And what does that make us? A fair weather friend. I don't want to be a fair weather friend to God where I'm only praising him in the good times. So the number two reason why a pressure cooker explodes, poor maintenance of the pressure release valve. What does that mean? So when we have a poorly maintained prayer life, worship life, word life, what does that mean? We only are, you know, hanging out with him when it's good, you know? Or how about this? Some people only hang out with him when it's bad, but it's not an all the time thing. So what does that mean? You know, the Bible says to be instant in season and out of season. That means we have to practice praising God when we're busy. And we're always busy. That means I have to practice praising God when I'm distracted. I'm learning how to practice praising God. Worship night on Friday, I had Zeke. It was wonderful just to hold my son. And my son is like in the wiggliest phase all the time. And he's exploring. And I'm learning to praise God with my wiggly son in the midst of these things. And so we look for every opportunity. So on the drive to work, sometimes it's just time you put praise and worship music on, turn the talk radio off or the news that's just going to probably clog your valve with all kinds of negativity. And I'm just going to start thanking God that my car started this morning. Start low. It's okay. Our car started this morning, right? You know what? You know, my spouse, man, praise God. They were so helpful getting the kids off to school today. You know, praise God. Praise God my kid didn't vomit on the way to the preschool today. Praise God. You just got to start praising God. What is it? I always look for opportunities to give God credit. What is praising God? I'm looking for any opportunity. Any opportunity. What is that doing? It is maintaining the pressure release valve. It is any good report that I get in the mail, any good report my friend texts me, I am immediately going, oh, that's good, thumbs up. You know, I'm not just, you know, like, smile face, heart. I'm going to go, God, thank you so much. God, you had a breakthrough in my friend's finances. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, that my friend got a new job. I'm going to praise God for what God's doing even in other people's lives. That is maintaining the pressure release valve. Because if you're not doing that, if we're not in the habit of that, things can blow up. All right, the last one. Why do pressure cookers, life is a pressure cooker, why do things explode? I'll say this, improper usage. We were putting way too much inside the cooker. So in the modern day ones, and I think the old school ones, because, you know, I never used my old school one. In the modern day one, they have a max fill line. Do you ever notice that? You will once you make a mistake. There is only so much the human body can handle. You know when you can't handle anymore because this thing's called an emotional breakdown happens. And listen, not everybody, it's tears. Sometimes it's a hole in the wall. Can we get real here? Raise your hand if you've ever had that emotional breakdown moment. And whether you either put your fist in the sky and said some words that, you know, we don't want to like spell out, or you know, you just, you know, snapped at your spouse, or, you know, you cried, whatever it may be, that was a breakdown moment because God never created us to take all the pressure inside, this stress. And listen, I want to say this, as if you're the main breadwinner in your home or even like, you know, as a partner and things like that, that's a lot of pressure to provide for your family right now. And when things don't go our way, if we don't learn how to turn that pressure into a praise and a thanksgiving of God, I woke up today. Thank you, Lord, I'm in good health. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know what? We got from point A to point B and my car made it and there were no, you know, no accidents. You just have to start looking for ways. But I will say this. If you are really starting to feel that pressure, if we're starting to get into that point of, remember, Satan is the terrorist that wants to turn you into a bomb. If you're finding yourself snapping at people that you love, You know, you're the grumpy one that no one wants to sit with in the break room, right? You know, like you go to have your lunch and all of a sudden people walk in the break room and they're like, yeah, I'm going to hit Burger King right now because I'm not sitting next to them. You go, you know, we're starting to, people can sense. How many people know this? You can sense when your spouse is getting near the explosion mode. You can see it in their eye. I had a family member, their eye would start to twitch, you know, and then my eyes started to twitch. I was like, oh no, it's happening. What pressure, stress, things outside of our control. So I want to encourage you in this. This is a good time to examine your life of how much you're putting inside, how much you're taking on. God gave you a max fill line for every season in your life. And if you're saying yes to everybody and anybody for people pleasing, guilt, you are going to set yourself up to be the explosive pressure cooker one day. We all do it. I hate disappointing people. I'm a people where I actually really love people. And it keeps me up at night when I disappoint someone. But if I say yes to everyone, I'm probably going to disappoint the one closest to me, my spouse, because I said yes to all these people and now I've ruined our date night. Or you haven't had a date night. And you have to just tell people, hey, that was a season when I could do that. I was committed to that. This is a new season. And I'm at my max fill line. Because I have to guard my relationship with God and create space to spend time in the Word with Him and guard those relationships because I don't want to go, bah! Which I've done a lot of apologizing to Brad. You know, he'll come home, it's so sweet. He comes home and, you know, he might have had the best day at work or the worst day at work. And I'm like, blah, 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 and he's so sweet and I can just see in his eyes. And then I go, I'm so sorry, I just totally vented all over you. And what I needed to do the 5 minutes before he came home was turn on some praise and worship music or just start, you know, cooking dinner and just start thanking God. Or on my drive home from the office, God, thank you. Thank you for this day. All right. So obviously I've like blown it in this area. Otherwise I wouldn't be preaching it, right? So we're all in this together. We're getting better. Okay. Here we go. All right. So as Christians, we're going to really have to learn how to praise God in faith despite our circumstances, despite the stress, the pressure, the pressure, the pressure. And I'm going to have to press past the pressure and press into the presence of the Lord with my words, with my attention. You know, life is hard. Like I said, it's a pressure cooker, and sometimes we feel totally overwhelmed. What presses in on us? Disappointment, financial pressure, loss, criticism, people that have hurt us, people that have let us down. And that pressure, when someone else drops the ball in your life, that puts what? More pressure on you. Right? You know, if you have a coworker that's like, you know, not doing their part and that pressure comes on you, you know, maybe you have a family member that's sick and they can't help that, but now you're having to pick up some of that pressure. These are the things that we have to choose because in that moment, you're not really feeling like praising God. You feel the steam rising. The heat is on. Okay. We feel it rising and we're going to have to make a decision and make up a mind and declare that my circumstances, my feelings are not going to steal my praise to God. Because we are commanded to praise him in the good times and the hard times. If you think being a Christian is rainbows and sunshine, you're actually not reading your Bible. There is a fellowship of his sufferings. Following Jesus is hard. People are going to come against you just because you say, I follow Jesus. So you're going to have pressure. Pressure doesn't even mean you're always doing something wrong. Sometimes you're just doing something right. It's just a part of life. All right. So the choice to praise God past the pain, past the disappointment, past the stress, past the hurt, past betrayals, is going to take some maturity. It is. And it's going to take some forgiveness. And it's going to take this thing called enduring faith. Enduring faith. Enduring faith implies that the answer doesn't come immediately. And the Bible talks about enduring faith all the time. So faith brings answers, right? Faith, our faith in God, brings answers. God is not moved by our emotions. Find me some scripture. God is moved by my faith in him. Otherwise, the person that cries the loudest, does the most jumping jacks, and puts on the biggest emotional show will get the answer. How many people know that's just a kid having a temper tantrum or just, you know, putting on a show to get your attention? God responds to our faith. Our faith is trust in God. So enduring faith. Faith brings answers. Enduring faith brings answers with character. And that's called spiritual maturity. So Romans chapter 5, and it's like, you probably won't like this one, but highlight it anyway. Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5 says this, we can rejoice. That means we have a choice. Did you know you have a choice to rejoice? I choose to rejoice. Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems. Raise your hand if you ran into a problem this week or even today on the drive here. Yeah. Okay. And trials. Anybody had a trial? Maybe you actually were in trial legally and someone's trying to sue you or take things. Okay. It says, for we know that they help us. Okay. That means problems and trials. The pressure helps us develop endurance. Endurance. That's a spiritual muscle. Endurance. And endurance develops the strength of character. You ever met that kid that everything was just easy for them, that their parents just gave them everything? The moment they asked, would you like a pony? Here's a pony. If you'd like, you know, an extra scoop of ice cream, here's a scoop of ice cream. You want a sports car? Here's a sports car. They turn to be kind of brats in life because they think the whole world revolves around them. And then they get in the real world and it doesn't. So sometimes delays in getting the pony, or you might have to work and buy your own car, develops this thing called character. And character is grit. Character is strength. And character is something I admire in people. When I see someone's strength of character in a hard time, that's someone I want to model myself after. And God's saying problems and trials, yeah, it's hard, but I will bring enduring faith, muscles, and character to be more like Jesus. And it says here, character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. You know, we want things right away. And we think, oh, I didn't get that answer right away, and now God's not faithful. No, it's just, you know, not everything's a fast food line in life. Some things take a little time. God's working through people. How do you know? God gave people free will. And if you're praying for something and it involves a team of people, it's going to take God some time to tug at those hearts. God's giving an opportunity to obey his leading. And if they say no, he's going to have to find someone else. Did you know that takes some time? What are we to be doing in the waiting? Praising God, thanking God, our eyes on him, not on the people. He's my source. Uncle Sam's not my source. The tax return's not my source. God's my source. My eyes are on him. So what am I doing in the waiting? I'm praising him, and it builds character, enduring faith. All right, so growing greater character and strength in Jesus is a good thing. It expands our capacity for God's promotion in our life. You know, I don't know if you've ever worked someplace and you know, maybe the boss, it's a family business, and the boss promotes their son that gave them the pony and the sports car right away, and all of a sudden they're in a place of power and management. And what's the fastest way? They're going to tank your company. Truth? Anybody ever been in a situation like that? Okay. Enduring faith, holding on to God's promises and faith when things don't happen immediately, builds character, builds endurance, and that grows our capacity. It grows this internal strength. When the going gets tough, we don't get going. And when you read about the parable of the talents in the parable of the minas, I've preached this before. Sometimes things, responsibilities, the pressing, God is putting some things in your life for a particular season to expand your capacity so he can bring promotion in your life. And promotion is not always a big fat check in the mail. Sometimes it is God giving you more people he entrusts with you. And whether that be in your place of business or in your family or in your neighborhood or your grow group. So I want to say this, pressure isn't always a bad thing. But if your max capacity line, you better go, this is not a God thing. This is not a grace thing. This is an old season thing. Learn to say no to people with a big smile on your face. It's okay to say, this is not what God has called me to in this season, but I love you and I bless you. I'm going to pray for you. Let me see if I can connect you with someone else. Pressure is not always bad. A pressure cooker is very interesting. Anybody ever had a pot roast out of a pressure cooker? It's fantastic. Okay? Okay, Brad's favorite food's Indian food. You can make the best Indian food in a pressure cooker. Sometimes pressure isn't always a bad thing. God can use it to build character and endurance in our life. And also, if you know this, pressure cookers keep all the nutrients in the food. So if you cook it in a pressure cooker, it actually keeps all the vitamins in there. So it's not, like I said, God can use it. But we have to learn how to handle pressure God's way, because there's a great reward in that. So remember that little pressure release valve? I got to maintain it. I got to make sure it's not blocked. I need to build that type of worship life, because praise is probably one of the most powerful forces in the kingdom of God, and it is one of God's greatest weapons he's given us. It's the big guns, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. So we will say this, it's hard to praise God in hard times. I don't know about this, in our nation, it's been a pressure cooker for a long, long time. How do we praise God in hard times? How do we praise God when things are not going our way, when we're under attack? I'll tell you, you got to probably start real base level. So remember, we'll go back to Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5. I'm going to challenge you. Sometimes you just got to dwell on the unconditional love of God in your life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. So Romans 5, 3 through 5 says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. See this building to go to higher places. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Now, what's the next part of this? It says, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. His love never fails. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, this didn't work out in my life, and I've never seen the faithfulness of God. I said, has he loved you through it all? Has he ever given up on you? Has he ever abandoned you? No. You know, some people, like, dwell on all the negative things, all the hits they've taken in life. Sometimes you just got to learn how to take a hit. Real talk, I did boxing. I was terrible at it. Brad's a good boxer. You might not know about him. But one thing Julio Alvarez taught me at Lincoln Way Sports Center was how to take a hit. Listen, men are nodding at me a little bit. Now, listen, I'm not talking about hitting on girls. I'm just saying life is hard. You got to teach your kids. You know, my kid falls. We get new bruises on the head all the time. Like, am I going to wrap him in bubble wrap? No. Like, this is the real world, but I'm going to pray over him when he falls, you know, and I'm going to do due diligence and try to protect him. But we're going to have to learn how to take a hit and still praise God. Otherwise, we're just fair weather friends. So when I tell you this, if you're not sure how to praise him, just thank him for loving you, period. Jesus, you love me first, and I'm going to love you back. Jesus, you died for me first, and I'll always praise you. Thank you for saving me. If I think I can start on the most firm foundation, I think that's a really solid foundation that cannot be shaken. God's love never fails. He will never love you any less for all your failures. Do you know how comforting that is? That I can mess up. David did. He man, big sins. Murderer, cheater, adulterer. And he was a jerk sometimes. But I'll tell you, he was quick to repent and quick to change his ways and quick to praise God, worship God. He owned it. He said, man, God, I was an idiot. I've hurt you. He owned it. And he'd change his ways. And he said, that's a man after my own heart. I think I can be a David. I think I can just say, God, you've loved me despite the error of my ways. Thank you for saving me, but that's not an excuse to stay there and be a jerk. I'm going to receive your transforming grace. Thank you for loving me. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Yes, God is judge, but man, he is full of loving kindness and mercy. That makes my heart want to praise him. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me, okay? When we start dwelling on how big God is, you know, a magnifying glass, it says, oh, magnify the Lord, right? I'm going to make him bigger. But, you know, when we loop on all of our problems and we wallow and we woe, you know, it's interesting. If you get in a conversation with someone that's so scripted, how are you doing? And they tell you the same problem they've always been having every day. I can tell them exactly what they're going to tell me. They are magnifying the problem. So what are you going to do? I'm going to get stuck in the problem and there's no faith in it. Now, listen, you got to be honest with people. I don't believe in lying. Like, life was terrible. It was a terrible week. It's a terrible day. Be honest. We're not a bunch of liars. I don't believe in that. Like, that's just flaky. But don't keep cycling on it. Because David did. He was like, this is terrible. Everybody's attacking me. They have slandered my name. My life is imploding right now. He's honest. But then what'd he do? But God, you are faithful. Your loving kindness, your mercy endures forever. This is who you are, God, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the problem. You are so good. You are so faithful. And then he started recounting, and God, you won this battle. And God, you won that battle. And you know what? You were with my ancestors. You were my dad. You were my, all right. And you are faithful. And he starts praising God even before God's faithfulness manifests and the situation changes. What are we magnifying? Satan? If you magnify, you glorify. And if all I'm doing is looping, because, you know, some people, their identity is wrapped in being negative. They don't know what else to talk about unless they're wallowing and complaining. And oftentimes it's how you're raised. You know, like you get around the kitchen table and everybody, how was your day? Okay, let's magnify God. Let's find something to be thankful for. They don't even, you know, it's just second nature. So your job as a friend is help, hey, just interrupt and go pray with them. Oh, magnify the Lord, right? What's it do? When we start magnifying God, making him bigger, thanking him, what does it do? It starts flushing out the doubt and unbelief that destroys our faith. And that's what causes delay in the delivery. Praise will expedite the delivery, keeping the enduring faith on. So God is faithful, and it says in his word, he is faithful to perform his work. Right? So the Bible says the moment we pray, man, you know, the things are being delivered. You can read it in Daniel. I'll teach it another time. It's Daniel 9 and 10. But there are just delays in the natural. Because once again, God is not, he doesn't just make people do stuff. And there's a spirit world behind things. There's hindrances. There's all kinds of layers. Give me an hour or two to preach it. But I'll just say this. Our job in the waiting room is to praise God. Our job is to focus on magnify his character, his nature, his goodness. His love never fails. He has saved me for all eternity. But yeah, there are problems. There is suffering. There are people that are just going to attack you because they're a jerk. And there are other people because there's a spirit manifesting through them. You know, listen, what's your job? I'm going to praise God. It's the highest form of prayer. My eyes are not on the person. My eyes are on him. All right. So what is true praise and worship? Just a quick review. Worship is not the teary-eyed slow songs. Okay, the word worship comes from the English word worth-ship, to honor one who is honorable. It is focusing on who God is, his character, his nature, his goodness. And what is praise? Praise is not the fast, clappy song, right? It's not just the first three songs in the set. It's the context of the words we say, right? So praise is to honor God, to show adoration and thanksgiving for what he's done in your life. And God, if you can't think, because how many people, when you're having a bad day and a grumpy moment, I can't think of a good thing because I'm just all in my emotions, or it might be your hormones. It's okay. What is it? But I remember God's faithfulness because Deb shared a story of God's faithfulness. So I'm going to praise God for what God's doing in Deb's life. And I just got over me because Deb shared her story. It is important to share your story because sometimes we get so stuck in our head, I can't think of anything. But someone just today shared an answered prayer. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in their life. So praise is the highest form of prayers of faith. It's thanking God even before it happens. It's not like, God, you got to prove yourself to me before I give you some praise. I trust in your character and your nature and goodness. And even when it's hard, even when it's rough, you promise you will work all things together for good. You're going to bring something so beautiful and so mind-blowing out of it. So where am I going with this? And we're going to go into 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Praising God is one of the greatest weapons. It is the big guns. Psalms 149 verse 6 says this, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. It is equivalent, praise is a weapon. Praise, you can get stuck in your head. You know, you better be louder than your head because I got all kinds of negative thoughts going through my head all the time. I'll get a negative text messages, three at the back door even before I make it up here. Normally, it's because I got three different text messages this morning and then two at the back door, and then I finally made it up. I got one at the back door. And if I got so stuck in all the negativity, man, it would be a rough message. I thank God for our praise and worship team. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to dump all that stuff at your feet, Jesus, and just start praising you and thanking you for who you are and what you are doing, will do. You're good. Let the high praises of God, low level emotions is just kind of shallow relationship with God. I don't praise God unless I'm feeling it. Just because you're not feeling the faithfulness of God doesn't mean he's not faithful. It's just you're going through a hard time And life is full of it. It's promised. It's just a part of life. We live in this broken world. And there are broken people that affect our world. But my high praise is I'm going to go to a high place and thank God for who he is and his faithfulness, even if it takes 30 years. And the words of my mouth better line up. It's what you're speaking. Because I'm telling you, if I'm going to magnify the problem and wallow and complain and cycle over and over and over again, that's not fueling faith. Doubt, unbelief, everything delays. And if anything, it's just going to make it miserable for you. All right. So the high praises of God, right? High praises lifts God higher. It magnifies him. It makes him bigger than the attacks of the enemy. Now, the key to breakthrough and getting through a hard place, I'll tell you, King Jehoshaphat is a really good lesson in that. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat is facing insurmountable odds. It is an impossible situation. Bad reports are just pressing in from every side. He is surrounded on every side. So it's like having a season where debt is pressing in. Between a rock and a hard place, a lawsuit comes in, a custody battle comes in, a bad doctor's report comes in. And if it's not bad enough that you're going through it, then Satan comes after someone you love. It's every side. They go after your kids. They go after your spouse. It's just constant, the pressing. The pressing. But God is bigger than the pressing. You know, the thing with this, my pastor said a cliche term, but you know about cliches, you don't forget them. He said, if you don't quit on God, you always win. The problem is you better get off your timeline. Because I'll tell you, there's a lot of 30-year blocks in the Bible. Some people aren't even 30 years old in here, but you got to give God time. But if God can win with any hand, you know, you just don't quit on him. Don't fold. Don't quit. All right. John chapter 16, verse 33, Amplified says this. Jesus is giving us a heads up. Jesus is talking. He said, I have told you these things so that in me, everybody say in me. Jesus is saying this. In Jesus, you may have perfect peace and confidence. That doesn't mean life is perfect. It means I have perfect peace and confidence in God even when it's hard, even when it's rough, even when it feels impossible. It says, in this world, you will have tribulation and trials. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through attacks. There are losses in this world. There are tribulations. There are trials. There is distress. There is frustration. I think Amplified Bible's covering it all. It says, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Undaunted. This is enduring faith. For I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. But, that's what Jesus said. I don't really feel like arguing with Jesus ever. But, Jesus is perfect theology. If you don't like that, you go take it up with Jesus. I'm just going to preach what Jesus said. There's a difference between stuff on the outside versus stuff on the inside. You ever need a breakthrough like your life depended on it? This is Jehoshaphat right now. Have you been mulling over a situation from every angle? And I'm a problem solver. I seem to do my best problem solving at 3 a.m. No, I don't. But that's when my brain wakes up, right after the REM cycle. And I am trying to solve all the problems in the church, my family, friends, loved one. And you ever just tried and tried and you just can't work it out? Or how about this? Like quicksand, every time you try, it just gets worse and you sink deeper. Like, I went to that person, I tried to work it out, and then they twisted all my words, or, you know, just Satan twisted the words, and now I've walked away from that, and they're even more offended, and they got 3 other people and screenshotted my stupid text message. Don't send negative things and messages. They will screenshot it. Okay, come on, guys. Like, what do you, I was just trying to solve the problem. I was trying to, and it just got worse. Okay, this is Jehoshaphat right now. He's done everything he knows to do, and he can't see a way out. Nothing's working. And sometimes in those moments, you just want to run and hide and take a vacation that you haven't taken in 10 years. But that's not an option. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The enemies have gathered around every side of King Jehoshaphat. So in the message, verse 1 and 3, it says this. The Moabites, the Ammonites, accompanied by the Mennonites, joined forces to make war on Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat received this intelligence report. And it said this, a huge force is on its way from beyond the Dead Sea to fight you. Sounds like a personal attack. Whew. And there is no time to waste. They're already in Baltimore. you know, like you don't know that region, but I say that they're right around the corner. Like you don't have much time to regroup. And there, everyone's looking to you. So if you're the head of your family, your business, your department, you're in management, or you're just one of the trusted people that they lean on, what do we do? My eyes are on Jesus. I don't know. I've been in those situations where all your frenemies and enemies all gather together. You ever have that moment you're like, I thought you were on my team. I thought we were on the same team. I thought we were family. I thought, you know, I thought we were coworkers. I thought we were bridesmaids. Like, what just happened? Best buds, we're golfing buddies. You know, what just happened? And all of a sudden, they attack. Like, you're used to certain people attacking, but all of a sudden, it was like your team attacked. What happened? So it's like everybody got in cahoots and secretly joined forces the same week to attack you. Great, this is what's going on. So everything hits at the same time. All the bills just somehow came in the mail that week. That loan they called in early. All of a sudden, your car broke down and your mechanic said, just let it go. Not worth the fix. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'll just push it. I'll turn it on, give me a running start. Okay. Because you're like, I don't have time to even look at a new car right now. Your neighbor suddenly threatens to sue you because you accidentally chopped down the wrong tree. Really? Okay, whatever. You know? And someone's just gunning for your job at work and they're just spreading gossip and rumors. And they're copying bosses on emails. And you're like, really, dude? Like, I'm right here. Just come talk to me. It's just all hitting. You just want to wake up from the nightmare, and Jehoshaphat is in this situation. He is in crisis. How do you know you're in crisis? How do you know you're in crisis? Because your emotions begin to take charge. The pressure. You can start, you feel the bubbling. I when I'm upset, I get quiet. Be nervous if you're in a meeting and I just get more quiet. That means I'm not doing good. Because I've trained myself, because as a leadership position, you don't get to have a bad day. People know that at work, right? You don't get to just vent all over an email and a text. You have to like stuff it. Well, God didn't create you to stuff it. He created you to give it to him. Jehoshaphat is in crisis. You know when you're in crisis, when your emotions start to take charge. And how many people know this? I have a phrase. It's been a good check and balance in my life. The only thing that separates us from the crazies is not making an emotional decision. Women, we have emotions. We have hormones. That makes us a little crazy sometimes. All the spouses are like, yes, my wife's a little crazy sometimes. But we love each other, right? Don't make any decisions when you're up in your emotions. Because that will just, you go to basic counseling and therapy, they said, hey, you know, if of the loss of a loved one, you know, or a major thing hits the fan, don't make any decisions. Truth. All right. Emotions are starting to swirl and whirl, and you want to just make some big decisions. So what does he do? Verse 3, New Living Translation, it says, Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news. That's not a light term. He is terrified. He is feeling overwhelmed. He can't fix it. Everybody's looking for him to fix it. He is being pressed on every side. In the pressure cooker, the heat's on. The heat is on. It's hot. And then the pressure and the swirling, you can start, your chest start to pound. Come on, you know that feeling? You're in that business meeting and someone just threw you under the bus and blamed you for their decision and the business just cost a couple $1,000 and the boss looks at you. Oh, you feel the pressure. And what we do in that moment will define not only us, but the battle around us and the people that are on our team. And this is where we have to train ourselves to press into praise. Jehoshaphat was shaken. Many different translations, terrified. This is a leader. This is a king. And he's a warrior. And by the way, he was a very gifted warrior. Like, he's not, like, unseasoned. Like, I'm telling you, he's won a lot of battles. But this one was beyond. He's at the breaking point. And what does he do? Verses 3 through 4 in the Amplified, it says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek God. That means he cleared his schedule. He took his vacation days to not go run away and escape to the beach or go Netflix it and binge for 3 days. He went, I am going to fast and pray every distraction. I vitally need to hear from God right now because everyone's looking at me and I'm looking at you, Lord. And he says, he proclaimed a fast in all of Judah, and Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire. And when you read the context of this, like, everything just stopped. People shut down their business, you know, they canceled plans, and they said, we are going to seek God. We're going to fast and pray. We're going to sacrifice something in the natural. oh, Friday night, we always go out and do this thing. And God's saying, you're in a season of crisis. And yeah, you want to just blow steam, but you're going to blow steam in a way that's not going to help you. Going to the bar is not going to help you on Monday morning, is it? Going to prayer will. I love Netflix. I love sci-fi. I will just watch sci-fi for 3 days. Don't judge me. You're so unspiritual. I'm honest, okay? I would just love to drown myself in Star Trek reruns, okay? I love it. But I'm going to sacrifice that time, and whether it be food or whatever the distraction is. All I need is you right now, Jesus. You're the answer. So he set himself to seek God. Fasting, whether it be food or entertainment, whatever your escapism is at that time, peels off your emotions of your flesh, your mind, your will, your reasoning, all the reasons that you think are so brilliant at 3 a.m. that are not God ideas. And you get real sharp in your spirit to hear God. Because during that time, if you just fast food and don't spend that time with God, welcome to a glorified diet. So stop telling people you're fasting, you're dieting. But if you spend that time with the Lord and word and worship and just, you know what, if I spend time with other people, it's going to be about the Lord. All of a sudden, I'm not going to make an emotional decision. I just went higher. And you'll get real clear in your hearing. And then the Lord started speaking. And this is what Jehoshaphat did in verse 5. It said, Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah. He took the time to stand up with your coworkers, with your family, your friend, your spouses, whether it be in your church community, and just say, you know what? We surrender to Jesus. I don't have answers, but God does. You pull your spouse, you pull your kids. Hey, guys, we're going to pray and seek God. You know what? We're clearing our plans this weekend. We're not running all over Kingdom Come to this, that, and the other, and this birthday party, that one, and run errands. We'll Amazon it. It's fine. You know what? We're saying no to everything this weekend. And we're going to pray and seek God. And you're just going to get quiet. We're not going to get into the rushing. And I'm not going to make an emotional decision. I'm not going to make a people-pleasing decision. I'm going to hear what the Lord is saying to do. And it says, verse 6, he prayed. And this is fun. Praise is the highest form of prayer. This is what he prayed, and actually he praised. It's interesting. Verse 6, it says, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are God. You're first in our family. Football's not first. God, you're first. Obligations are not first. God, you're first. You alone are God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty, and no one can stand up against you. Is he magnifying the problem? No, he was honest. There's a report. This is a bad report. The military report came in. This is awful. He acknowledged it. He didn't lie. But then he went, but this is who you are, God. You are greater. You are bigger. There is nothing that can stand against you. No matter what's going on in our nation, no matter who's on the throne as president, it doesn't matter. My God is bigger. He started glorifying the person of God, magnifying, making that bigger. And then he started graduating to the power of God. You know, it's very interesting. Sometimes I look at Brad in the eyes. I go, honey, why do you love me? He'll say he loves me. I'm like, why do you love me? You know, what I love to hear is as why he loves me as a person. Not because I cook good food, but he does get to that, you know. Yeah. But we like to hear about who we are, not just our talents. But because it says, you see me, you know me. So it's really good in that praise of just... and worship time, this is who you are. God, you are great. You are magnificent. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You are glorious. And God, you are powerful. You've won this battle, God. And you know, this is the thing. If you can't think of a battle in your life, maybe you're new to this whole following Jesus thing, think of someone else that they shared their story with you. And then you read the Bible of all the people in the Bible that it glorifies God. He saved them out of slavery, out of Egypt, took people out of prison, rose people from the dead. There's tons of stories to glorify God. So we have to remember the past victories and praise the Lord. And it starts getting past that mental block. So verses 7, 9, and 12, it says, Jehoshaphat praised, okay? Our God, did you not drive out those who lived in the land when your people, Israel, arrived? Did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Did you not get rid of all the giants? Did you not conquer this forest? And yeah, he moved through people, but God got the glory. Because how many people know sometimes you're the hand and feet of Jesus? Isn't it great when someone shows up and they just stocked your whole fridge with groceries and you didn't even know where it was going to be macaroni and cheese again, and we love it, but that's all we've had. And someone knocks on your door with some great groceries and we thank them, But then we glorify God because God just moved through them. He prays, "Oh God, did you not drive out those who lived in the land when your people Israel arrived? Did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? You gave us this house. I know we're getting behind on the mortgage, but God, you are faithful and you're going to give us wisdom to live within our means. Maybe we go down to one car instead of two cars. You're going to give us wisdom. And when we've done all that we know to do to get within budget, you're going to provide because you are faithful." It says, "And whenever you are faced with any calamity, such as war or plague or famine, we have come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. And we cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Our eyes are on you." There is like a whole page in your Bible, which we don't have time for, of all the things they started praising God for before he even moved in the situation. They recounted anything they could think of from the past, anything they could think of in other people's lives. And then they just started, "But God, you're going to win this battle. God, you got us. God, you're going to move. God, you're going to provide. God, you're going to provide a car for us. Lord, you're going to provide a job. Lord God, I thank you. Lord God, you're going to save my marriage. Lord, you are faithful." And they got so caught up and swept up because their eyes were not on the problem. Their eyes was on the faithfulness of the Lord. Psalms 103 verse 2 says this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. Forget not all of his benefits. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me." You're going to have to stir yourself up. The Bible talks about stirring yourself up in the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be easy. You might actually have to have a running list in the back of your Bible or in your car dashboard as you're driving to your job where everybody is terrible to you. And but God, you've been faithful. God, I thank you for my husband. I thank you for my kids. I thank you we're in good health. I thank you my car started today. Lord, I thank you that I didn't snore last night. Keep my spouse up. Amen. Pray for that. Okay. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And you get that list going. I'm going to think of forever anything and everything, right? Stir myself up. And then you got to look at the promises of God in the word. God's will is his word. If you don't know God's will for your life, read your Bible. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says this, "No weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These are the benefits," forget not all of his benefits, "that are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken." Go higher. It's not always the person. It could be a spirit through the person, or they're just a jerk. They just don't like you because they didn't like your shoes today and they came against you. But I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on his faithfulness and his promises. How's this going to play out? Give him all the time he needs. Sometimes it takes some time to clear out your company and get better management. But my eyes are on him, not who's signing the paycheck. My eyes are on him. "And when you have done all that you know to do, you stand." Ephesians 6, 13 through 14, it says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes," it doesn't say if. Satan don't like anybody. "I don't know why he just hates me. He hates everybody. I don't know why he's always after me." It's an everybody thing, so stop wallowing, okay? It's just the broken world we live in, all right? Okay, what does it say? "When the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand." Take the hit, y'all. You know why you put armor in? Because you're going to get hit. Come on. Why do the boxers have, you know, I don't know, boxing, you know, too many things these days. But football players, why do you get the equipment? Because you got to learn how to take the hit and get back up on your feet and stand. It's not as personal as you think it is. "That you may be able to stand your ground." I'm not going to quit on God because I haven't seen his faithfulness yet. "What will become of me had I not seen the goodness of God in the land of the living?" He is faithful. It may not play out in your timeline or the way you wanted it, but he is faithful. My eyes are on him. "When you have done everything that you know to do, stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand." It said stand and stand and stand. "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around you." What's it saying? Keep standing. Keep standing. Keep standing. Don't quit. When you don't quit on God, he will fight your battle. Get off your time frame. Get off in the way that you want it to be. Just let him. He has to work through free will. He doesn't make people do things. He will influence. But if you give him enough time, he will rework it. God's word is the ultimate truth. The facts are subject to change. I will acknowledge facts. It tells me how to pray. When I get a doctor's report, I'm going to say what the doctor's report says. But I'm going to say, this is the report. These are the symptoms. They say I need this surgery. But God. But God, he is faithful and he is my healer. And whether he heals on the team doctor or I wake up the next day and I go drive off to that surgery and they open me up and they go, I guess I don't know what happened, but you're all good. Or maybe it's a supernatural fast healing time. My God is good and he is faithful. And I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand on his word, his truth, his truth. And I'll say this, it really boils down to one question. Everybody says they have faith. I'm a Christian, I have faith in God. Okay. But do you really believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do? Now the catch is this, I sometimes want it to play out a certain way. You know, it's interesting, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But even if he doesn't do it the way I thought he was going to do, I will not renounce my faith in God. You know, the heroes of faith, it said some died in faith. That means they fought to the very end. There are mysteries. I don't know why things don't play out. But did I stand in faith in the promises of word? Yes. And I'm not going to abandon my faith in him. He's good. He is faithful. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. What is faith? Faith is trust in God. Mike, remember we bought my car online? We bought my Jeep online, okay? I got the title deed before I got the Jeep. Faith is the title deed. Faith says in writing, this is yours. And I started praising and thanking God when eventually my car arrived. I think it took a little bit longer. But I had to stand in faith that they were going to make good on their promise. And you know what? When you start sweating, you look at your little Amazon confirmation, it's eventually going to get here. And I'm going to praise you for the delivery, okay? Faith is confidence in God. Confidence in God that we have what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance about the things we cannot see. That's the New Living. 1 John 4:4, New Living Translation, says, you have already won a victory. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. I've had losses. I've had some heavy losses in life. I can't explain it. I fought in faith to the very end. It didn't pan out. I have buried people. I have gone through horrific losses and betrayals, personal attacks. It's just part of living in a broken world where God's, you know, Satan is the God of this world. But my God is faithful. And I don't always know the whys and the whats, and I'm not going to magnify why something didn't happen the way I wanted it to or the way I thought it was going to. I'm just going to magnify God as bigger. And he is greater. And he is glorious. He is the God of heaven and earth. He loves me. And his love never fails. And he will make something so beautiful from ashes. Now here's what the Lord spoke through a prophet. So they're all praying and they're fasting. They're praising God for pages. They're singing. They're declaring the goodness of the past, the present, the future. And then the Lord speaks through a prophetic word. That means he speaks through someone else and it aligns with scripture. That's how you know it's not weirdo stuff, okay? So a prophet stood up and said this. The Lord says this. Do not be afraid or dismayed at the great multitude. The pressing. The pressure. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Everybody say this. The battle is not yours, but God's. And verse 17 says this. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions and stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Put your armor on. Put the word of God on. Start praising God. Build yourself up in faith. Hold on to the faithfulness of God, the character and nature of God. And God says, I got you. Just stand. Just stand. Stand on the promises of my word. Stand on my faithfulness. Stand and praise me through it. And it says in verses 18 through 21 that they believed that word of the Lord. They stood on it in faith and they responded with a loud shout of praise. Sometimes you just got to get louder than your own thoughts. And you know what? That might be your drive to work or your shower or whatever. Or maybe you go hunting and after you got your deer, when you don't have to spook anything, you're like, praise you, God, we just stocked the fridge. Thank you, Jesus, you provided. You have to grab a hold of that victory sometimes in faith. Remember, praise is the big guns of faith. Psalms 22, verse 3, it says, God inhabits the praises of his people. When I praise God, man, God comes in strong because I am magnifying him, not the problem. So how's this, what pans out? Let's wrap it up. Land the plane. Verses 22 through 24 says this, that when they praised the Lord and they received this word from the Lord that God's going to fight this battle, just stand. Don't give up. Just stand in faith. Just praise me ahead of time. Don't wait for it to play out. Praise me ahead of time in faith. I believe it's on its way. I'm going to praise him in faith. It says that God set an ambush out ahead of them, and he caused the enemy to turn on themselves. So, you know, if there's an attack at work and all of a sudden, you know, oh, this person, that person, that would just let them destroy each other in their gossip and slander. Let them destroy each other in their stupid decisions. I'm not going to get in the mud. I'm not going to defend myself. I'm not going to email and text them back. I'm just going to, you know what? God, you're going to work it out. I'm not going to try to control the narrative. My eyes are on you, Lord. And it said that all the enemies that pressed in from every side turned on each other, destroyed each other. And when they, and this is the wild thing, God did not tell them to put the worship team and the praise team in front of the army. They just got a hold of this promise of God and faith that we're not going to have to fight, so we'll put the army here, and we're just going to start praising and shouting and thanking him that he's moving as we're just going to walk. We're going to stand and move forward. I'm going to take steps. God said he's got me. I'm going to take the steps. I'm moving forward, but I'm going to praise him and thank him through it. And when they finally got to the point where the battle would happen, they're already wiped out. And here's the beautiful thing about this. There was a vindication and a recompense for that attack, because all the enemy was laying there with their wallets out. It's just the truth of the matter, you know, and their horses and their cars and whatever. And it said it took them 3 days to pick up all the spoils. They never had to fight the battle. God just says, I'm going to vindicate and bless you for this legal attack against you. You know what? I'm going to cause the judge rule in your favor. And you know what? Whether it comes through a legal thing or a new account at work, or maybe, hey, how about this? Our whole family's in good health. And you know when your whole family's in good health, how much you save in those bills? I got you. Don't look for it to come one way. Sometimes we're looking for the $10,000 check in the mail. God's blessings overtake us in wild ways. And his blessing for standing in faith not only affected him, but the entire nation. God is good. You guys can stand up. Just stand up. And we're going to take 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Philippians 4:4 says this. Paul said in prison. We're going to talk about it next week. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It is not based on circumstances. It's not based on the pressure. Despite the pressure, I'm going to release that in praise to the Lord. And Ephesians 5:19 through 20 corporately, that says in a gathering of believers, whether that be in a grow group or in the break room with another Christian or just sitting in your car on the way home, it says this. It says, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices, making melody with all your heart to the Lord. And it says, at all times, good times, bad times, hard times, pressing times, for everything, give thanks. So I'm just going to challenge you to take 10 seconds now and start thanking God. And I'm going to say, I'm not going to thank him for you. Start moving your lips. I'll tell you, God, thank you my car started today. Lord, thank you for my spouse. Lord God, thank you. Thank you I'm in good health. Or thank you, you know, no matter what the doctor's report says, I thank you for the promise of your word that you're my healer. The facts are subject to change. You said I'm healed and you're moving. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I thank you you're moving in my employer. Lord, you're giving wisdom to the CEO and CFO, Lord God, key decision makers, whether they know you or not. Lord God, you move with good kings and bad kings. Lord, I thank you for your hand of provision, that this is going to be our most prosperous year yet at work. And I thank you for a promotion, Lord God. I thank you for a new job. You are faithful. And when I've done everything to do that I know to do, I will stand. My eyes are on you. and I align my words with your word. I'm going to magnify you and not the problem. God, I give you all the time you need. Show me what steps to take as I move forward, and I praise you. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to cause the enemy to turn on each other. Lord God, we just thank you for your provision and your blessing. You make a way where there is no way. You're the God of the impossible. You're the way maker, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm working on it too. So, if you need prayer in any way, want someone to stand with you, pray with you. Grow group leaders, if you're up here, or ministry directors, we'd love to pray with you. Have a wonderful afternoon. God is faithful, even in the pressing. Amen.